to your word now. I, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here, is here this morning, Lord, already in our worship and our praise. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and for the truth of your word. Now we open our hearts to you and ask that, Lord God, you will come to speak to us, guide us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have a question for you. How many of you are here because somebody is praying for you? Think about that. How many are here because somebody is praying for you? If you know you have somebody praying for you, you are wealthy. I stand here this morning almost confident that my mom and dad have prayed for me this morning already, as they have prayed over and over and over again over the years. But even if you can't name someone who's praying for you right now, even if you can't think of someone, I want to share the word of God with you this morning, and I want to share with you the reality that the Holy Spirit is praying for you right now. Right now, the Holy Spirit is interceding before the Father in heaven, along with Jesus Christ, praying God's will, God's purposes are done in your life. Because we desperately need spiritual life. And so we're going to have a quick review this morning. We know from God's word that we are all born with a sin nature. We have all sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. That means we have missed the target of God's holy and righteous standard, but even further, we have fallen short of being able to give God glory with our lives. And it all came because of Adam's sin and the subsequent passing of that down from generation to generation, just as though through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Ultimately, no, the wages of sin is death. We have died. We die spiritually. We're also going to die eternally outside of Christ. That gives us a great disadvantage. It means in our lives, as people, we are very spiritually weak, sick, and even dead. We carry with us sin habits and earthly perspectives that keep us locked in and chained to this world. We're enslaved to a lot of life sources that instead of giving us the life they promise, they actually enslave us and make us more and more victims to those things. We are deceived and distracted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And worst of all, we're ignorant of God's truth and God's ways in our natural man. We're missing out on all that God has for us. But this morning, through Jesus Christ, through the message of the cross, through the gospel, we who have been dead, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. And from Colossians, and you being dead in your trespasses, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Friends, this morning, I don't know. Many of you, I don't know the particulars of your life story and of your situation. But I do know this, that God Almighty, by the work of his Holy Spirit through the gospel, wants to give you life in your spirit. Holy Spirit life. Holy Spirit strength, encouragement, and hope. To look at that this morning, I want us to go through a few verses from Romans chapter 8. So if you brought your Bible, which I still encourage you to do, even though we have these slides here, I want you to be opening the scriptures, holding the Bible in your hand, reading the verses, looking at the pages, remembering where verses are in those spots and corners, so you can go home and open your Bible again and ask the Lord to show you and teach you these scripture passages. And so Romans chapter 8, we're going to take a quick look through this chapter, and I want to emphasize a specific aspect of what we see here. As we read through verses in this chapter, I want you to be looking for every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned. I want you to see what Paul is writing and encouraging us to understand, that it is God's Spirit that's giving us life, working in us, leading us, and guiding us. In this chapter, the word according is mentioned seven times. Seven times. So as you were reading, you look for it. According, because the decisions we make in life have consequences. There is fruit to the decisions and choices we make. So if we make a decision according to the flesh, there will be results. If we make decisions and choices according to the Holy Spirit, there will be life and peace. So let's look. I want you to read that. I'm just going to read slowly through this. I have pulled together just a few of the things I see in this chapter, but I want you to pay attention as we look at God's Word. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Friends, neighbors, it is apparent clearly in this passage that how we live our lives is according to the Spirit. This is the only way that we can be set free from the law of sin and death. It's the only way we can be set free from carnal thinking, carnal mindedness, is if we live according to the Spirit. Now, I don't know if we have any real understanding of how vast and how significant that can be when we really allow God to shape our thinking, our prayers, our faith, our attitudes, that we can live according to the Spirit. But I want to share and look at this a little bit further. We know, for instance, that there is a growth that can happen in our lives when we choose to live according to the Spirit. We know from Scripture that spiritual new birth can begin in a moment of humble asking. When Nicodemus came to see Jesus in John chapter 3, and he asked, how can I inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say to him? You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Every single one of us here, I have 100% confidence, you have all been born of the flesh. Okay? You've been born. You're a body. You're sitting here. You're breathing. I hope you're thinking. But you have been born of the flesh. But in order to enter into God's kingdom and God's ways and inherit eternal life, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must also be born of the Spirit. There must come a life into us of the Holy Spirit, and that comes by simply asking Jesus to come and live inside of us, welcoming His Spirit, inviting Him to come and be our Savior, to live in us, to inhabit us. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He instantly gives us spiritual life. However, our growth as spiritual beings takes time. Spiritual knowledge and growth is gradual. We don't learn it overnight, but the Holy Spirit promises to be our teacher and our coach. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. So going on here in Romans chapter 8, I want us to concentrate this morning, the rest of this morning, on this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8:26. When we make all of these decisions to live according to the Spirit, Paul goes on to say, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how or what we should pray as we ought. For the Spirit Himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Why is this so helpful? That we can be encouraged that the Holy Spirit is praying. Well, this verse here acknowledges the limitations of our human understanding. We don't understand all that's going on in the spirit realm. In fact, I would venture to say we probably understand very little of what's going on in the spiritual realm. But the Holy Spirit comes to help us and to teach us. We need to learn the things of the Spirit. Sometimes we lack clarity and confidence when we even want to pray for people and situations. Sometimes we feel like there's just the complications of circumstances are way bigger than what we can handle or manage ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit comes in the weakness of those situations. And it says here that the Spirit intercedes. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit's intercession for us is a profound mystery, but it indicates here that He is directly involved in our lives and through our lives. The Holy Spirit's intercession is a continuous process. It's suggesting it's an ongoing relationship, an ongoing interaction on our behalf before God. I believe that this is indeed a promise that fulfills part of what Jesus said, that He would never leave us as orphans, that He would send the Holy Spirit. That this intercession is an ongoing closeness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What does that mean, groanings which cannot be uttered? Well, there's several different thinking about it. First of all, it can mean that as the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, that He is actually calling on the Father, Son, and Spirit, with beyond words of human expression, indicating the Holy Spirit's intimate knowledge of God's will and the believer's needs. The groans can be seen as an expression of the Spirit's empathy and deep concern for believers' spiritual welfare. The nature of these groanings points to a profound mystery of divine communication and the Spirit's role in bridging the gap between our human frailty and divine perfection. God is praying. God is calling out. You know, there's another spot in the Bible that talks about groanings. Here's just a little side note. Keep your spot in Romans. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Just look at this here. I was looking at this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So this talks about dying. We know that that God has a place for us and that we will receive new bodies. Verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. If I understand this passage here, what Paul is saying is we know there's something better coming. We know there's something better coming, but we don't quite have words for it. We don't quite understand what it's going to be like. But as we think about it, there's just this sense of excitement and anticipation. But at the same time, there's this groaning ache for when will this day come? When will this day come? There's a fella in Barrhead right now that I've been visiting in the hospital who comes from the DAP community. He's an elderly man. He has double pneumonia. He can hardly breathe. He's on oxygen and morphine in order to just be able to just be peaceful. But as I've been to visit him, he's laying there, gasping for breath, but in his breath he's saying, I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait when the Lord is going to take me home. I can hardly wait. He can hardly breathe, but he's groaning because he knows there's more to come and that the weak, sick aspect of his body right now is not the way he's going to be forever. He is waiting and excited. Oh, we pray for God's mercy for him, but let me tell you, as I sit down and share with him from God's word, his excitement rises up because he knows there's more to come. So in Romans chapter 8 here, when the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, I believe one of the aspects of those groanings is that the Holy Spirit knows there's more. The Holy Spirit knows that what we're experiencing here is but a thin taste of what God has for us. And it's with words that we can't even put together. Oh, Lord God, lead us and direct us to understand the richness of what the Holy Spirit is doing. You notice in this passage here that the Holy Spirit is the one who searches our hearts, the next verse. Because the Holy Spirit knows the things of God. The Holy Spirit knows what Father God in heaven wants to do. And we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit is at work. And so in Romans 8:27, it says, He who searches the hearts and minds knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Look at this, folks. Who is searching? God is. And what is he searching? He's searching our hearts and our minds. When God searches our hearts and our minds, what is he finding? What does God find when he searches our hearts and minds? I know what he finds in my heart and mind sometimes. Discouragement. Doubt. Fear. Anxiety. I don't have to do much doom scrolling on the internet to start feeling a little bit depressed about what's going on in the world. So when God searches our hearts and knows what's in our minds, what is the Holy Spirit doing? He does not intercede based upon what's in my mind. He intercedes based upon what is the will of God. So as the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, he's not interceding asking for what we think we need or we want based upon the limitations of our unbelief, our fears, and our doubts. He's praying according to the will of our Father in heaven. And we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, that it says, Christ himself is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to him, come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Holy Spirit knows what God's heart is, and he makes intercession, praying for us. The Holy Spirit acts as an intercessor for all of us. This intercession is a form of advocacy where the Spirit pleads on behalf of each one of us. This concept of intercession is rooted in the Old Testament, where the priests would often intercede for the people. But Jesus himself now is interceding for us with the Holy Spirit, according to the will of God. So therefore, when we don't know what to pray for in a particular situation, circumstance, whether it's our own or whether it's someone else's, who already knows what to pray for? The Holy Spirit already knows what God's will is, and the Holy Spirit is already interceding. Therefore, when we are praying, who should we be in agreement with? The Holy Spirit's intercession. That's who we should be agreeing with. That should be what we're searching for and what we're looking for as we intercede together. So in my message, as I was preparing today, I began thinking, Lord, if Holy Spirit, if you are indeed interceding for us, but your level of intercession is so much greater and higher according to the will of God than my feeble prayers are, what should I begin to open my spirit, my thoughts, my meditation? What should we begin to think about? What led me to this questioning was a couple of weeks ago, sharing with a brother here, he made a statement that really challenged me. He said that when it comes to things of the Spirit, he's out to get everything he can. I've been raised to be content with what I have. I've been raised at home with our family and so on to really take seriously the admonition in 1 Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. In fact, I've kind of been proud of that. I can be content with just basics. I don't have to have fancy clothes. I don't have to drive a big car or a jacked up four-wheel drive truck. I don't have to have a great big house. I don't have to have lands and cattle and all that stuff. Oh, you're such a good, contented little boy. But it struck me the other day, if I live that way in terms of faith and belief in what the Holy Spirit may be interceding for right now for us, you know what that contentedness is? Unbelief. I begin to realize, have I been missing out on actually thinking and praying and believing that there is way more that God wants to do in our lives than what we're seeing right now in our own existence and our own experience? There could be way more. And God is saying to us, go for it. It's not being selfish. You're not being greedy. You're not being a spoiled brat. If you want everything I want to give you, go for it. Because the Holy Spirit is interceding right now according to the will of God that we are able to receive it and live in it. So here's some thoughts I had as I was contemplating about growing and thinking, praying and believing according to the Holy Spirit. Do we know the thoughts and the heart of another human being? Do we know each other's hopes and joys and pain? Do we understand each other? We don't, but who does? The Holy Spirit does. So I began to realize, I don't need to know everything about you as I pray for you, because who knows? The Holy Spirit does. And as we intercede for one another, we can agree, God, your will be done. Lord, your purposes in each other's lives. Do we know the full extent of God's investment and work in each other's lives? I don't think so. But the Holy Spirit knows what he has done, what he's willing to do, what he continues to do, makes available to you. Do we know the trophy of grace that any person is before God when they allow God to redeem their soul and to save them from sin and death. The Bible tells us that the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. I don't think we fully understand the celebration in heaven when even just one person says, Jesus, I receive you. Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, make me your son. Make me your daughter. We maybe get a sense of the rejoicing in heaven, but let me tell you, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in God's presence, and we can allow him to begin to give us that greater excitement. Wow, things are happening in people's lives. God is being glorified. But even further, do we know the tears of grief and pain in each other's lives? Or do we know the songs of worship and praise that can be lifted up from any individual and from any community together before? We don't know the extent of that, but the Holy Spirit does. Do I know the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit that you might be able to bear in your life as you allow the Holy Spirit to live? I don't know that, but the Holy Spirit knows. Do I know the multiplied numbers of people that any one life can touch in the course of their life when they allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide? And here's probably the biggest one. I realize that I have a very limited understanding and expectation of what God wills to do in any person's life or community. And as we pray and realize that the Holy Spirit is interceding already before the Father according to the will of God, the Holy Spirit wants to set captives free. I believe that if we will allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us in our prayers and intercessions, he wants to begin to show us the power of God real amongst us, where we will begin to anticipate and look for salvation in people's lives, salvation in this community, people coming to faith in Christ. You know what? Yesterday afternoon, we had a funeral here for Jim Turnbull. This place was packed. This building was full. And I know that the Holy Spirit wanted to draw each one of them closer to him. I know it. And I'm just asking God, give us this greater awareness. Do we really anticipate the healing, the being lifted out of depression and suicidal thoughts, being freed from the chains of substance abuse? Do we really believe the deliverance that can come in the name of Jesus, that demons will have to flee from people, and that we will be able to restore to relationships and hope and peace in the Lord? Friends, I have to come before God and confess and repent of having earthly thinking, carnal thinking, when in reality, at the same time, all along the Holy Spirit has been interceding for greater things in my life, greater things in your life, greater things in this community. The Holy Spirit has been asking, in agreement with the Father and the Son, for this to be poured out on us. We've got to be awakened to it and alive to it. What's God doing right now in heaven? Psalm chapter 40, verse 5. David wrote, "Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." I don't exactly know how Christ interceding for us and the Holy Spirit interceding for us before the Father, I don't quite know what that looks like. But according to this psalm, what is God our Father, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what are they doing right now? They're thinking about you. They're thinking about you. What are they thinking? Are they thinking, rah, 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 and lazy, no good, rah, 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 rah. No! What are they thinking? They're thinking based upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They're thinking about what God desires for you to receive and to live in and to be free from. And it says they can't be numbered. You know, this isn't the only place it talks about this. Look at Psalm 139. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. How much sand is there? Can you get a grip on this? God is way more excited and invested in you and in this community and in your family than what you maybe even be in yourself. He wants to pour his Spirit out and move and work in powerful ways. Last one here, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Here's my last illustration. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. Here to me is just one illustration of many of what this means if we allow the Holy Spirit, if we are living and walking in accordance with the Holy Spirit and his intercession on our behalf. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas go into Philippi. They're preaching the gospel. They are helping people come to Christ. But in verse 16, there's a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination who met us. And she was causing quite a stir, and she was getting distracting people away from this message. And finally, at one point, Paul turns one day and casts this evil spirit out. Verse 19, and when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and says, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city, and so on. Verse 21, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Humiliated, beaten, now imprisoned in a stinky, cold dungeon. Their feet fastened in stocks. They can't move. They're in pain and discomfort. If we approached a situation like that in carnal thinking, what would be our focus? This place stinks. This is gross. I'm hurting so bad. I'm so humiliated. Oh, 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 why did we ever come into this place? Oh, why did we ever put ourselves in this position? Oh, life is so hard. These stocks are so uncomfortable. Oh, how did we ever get here? Is that what they did? But that's what we do, folks. If we allow our carnal thinking to evaluate our purpose and our situation, that's where we will go. But what were Paul and Silas doing? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Think about this. It's dark. It's cold. It's hopeless. It's lifeless. And suddenly down in cell 9, these two guys are singing. They're singing. They're singing in the midst of their pain and their torment. How could they be singing? They're not singing in according to their physical circumstances. They are singing according to life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. There they are in the dark, singing before the Lord. Silas. Let's sing a song. Yeah, I've been thinking that too. What should we sing? Oh, let's sing a song about Jesus. Let's sing a song that lifts him up. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, and as you're singing, all of a sudden, deep underground, they begin to hear a rumble, they begin to hear the ground moving, and that rumble soon turns into an earthquake. The whole prison is shaking, the ground is moving, the prison doors, they're shaking and rattling. The bolts start coming out of the prison doors. The hinges start falling off. Doors start falling open. And look at this even more. It says here, immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. In that earthquake, chains were falling off of wrists. Chains were falling off of ankles. Paul and Silas are just lifting up the name of the Lord and worshiping him. Family of God, this is not just a story for the past. This, I believe, is the story that the Holy Spirit wants to keep using us to write the next chapter, the next chapter, the next chapter. In the darkness of your situation and your circumstance, do not sing, do not comment based upon your painful and difficult circumstances. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you the song of the Lord based upon what God's will is for your life. He wants to come and break open the prison doors, the cell that you are locked into, the bondage that you're... He wants to break the chains off of your wrists, the chains of addiction, the chains that are holding you down and not allowing you to live for the glory of God. And furthermore, he wants to do it for other people in this community. He wants to do it across this nation. The Holy Spirit is on the move. He is interceding right now. Will we align our lives with this intercession of the Holy Spirit? And so, the last few verses in the book of Jude, near the end of the Bible, is this direct command, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Team, if you want to come and get ready, we'll sing the last song here. I just really want to encourage each of you this morning that the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us to lift us out of everything mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically that wants to keep pulling us down. Instead, the Holy Spirit is here to lift us up and to give us new vision and new understanding. And furthermore, that we will be a people who will go through life with the anticipation that the Holy Spirit is already going ahead of us, touching people's lives, working in their hearts. Are you willing to let God set you free from living according to the flesh? Are you willing to let God come and change the way you live so that you can now live according to the Spirit? And then be used by him to pray for the sick, to pray for people to be set free, to encourage people in the Lord, to always be ready that no matter what dungeon we feel we're locked into, we're singing songs of praise to the Lord and expecting an earthquake to come to set the captives free. So, Father, take my feeble attempts to explain this scripture. Lord, my feeble attempts to explain what I sense you've been encouraging me in. But Holy Spirit, you take it and minister this hope and this uplift to everyone here. To those who may be listening to this message online, I ask, O God, come and have your way. We make ourselves available to you. We are your vessels. We are your sons and daughters. Lord, your Spirit abides in us. Empower us to live for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The team's going to come and lead us in one last song. I would like to encourage you, whether it's here at the front of the church or somewhere here even today, if you want to get together with someone to pray and ask for more of what God has for you.